I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It's Hour 2, GBAG Nation, 105.3 The Fan. We got the C-Note coming up in 20 minutes. Cowboys news of the evening. Time now for a football fix. And here's Zach.
Let's get our fix right after this.
You think football is still fun?
Yes.
Sir.
Wrong side!
Left side!
Wrong side!
Left side!
I use these for acid indigestion.
So what are we going to use these for?
Intimidation.
You know I gotta get my fix, man.
So how much money did Jack Campbell get? Yesterday we had that news that he went ahead and inked himself an extension with the Detroit Lions, and the details are now out. Four-year deal worth $81 million, $51.5 million guaranteed. That's $20.25 million annually over the extension. That would be the second among off-ball linebackers, trailing only Fred Warner at $21 million, and moves him just ahead of Roquan Smith in Baltimore, who is at $20 million. Campbell saying, I'm excited to be back. I'm excited to be here long term. Now it's time to go win a Super Bowl. Go Lions. Congratulations, Jack. Well deserved.
Well, I'm not in the business of doubting people's Super Bowl plans, but it didn't seem like they were heading in that direction.
I think you're right on that one. Yeah. You know, hey, I do expect the Lions bounce back here. Last year, I had them out of the playoffs. I think they actually can get back in this year, but I don't expect a Super Bowl run from Detroit. There's still a couple of questions
there. Their team missed the coaching that bad, Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson. Was that the biggest issue that they had?
The offensive core. I mean, look, they ended up changing play callers towards the end of the season. Dan Campbell took that back over. I think
their center retired. Remember Ragnow retired?
Ragnow retired was huge for them. Absolutely. And now I think they're doing the Penei Sewell, moving him over from right to left.
Yeah.
Some changes that they're making over there.
They're putting that, what, Clemson tackle they drafted at right tackle.
That was Brian's favorite tackle in the draft. He hated him. All right, the Cowboys, according to Seth Walder, have hired Nick Fullerton and Vincent Etherton as strategic football fellows. That's what he says, as strategic football fellows. Fullerton previously worked as an NFL Next Gen Stats Research Analyst, and Etherton was a data analytics assistant for Princeton.
So,
and their football team.
So this is the Cowboys?
Yeah, so they hired a next-gen stats guy and a Princeton football guy.
So these are kind of like intern dudes then, right?
It could be.
Fellows or interns.
Strategic football fellows. Hey, you tell me, man. I don't know. I just think of a fellow as like a fellow.
Well, fellows is like an academic kind of a thing.
Okay.
You're a fellow. You're an understudy. You're one of those guys.
Nick and Vincent do an excellent job and can help them get some win. Fullerton and Etherton.
Sound like some accounting firm.
They sound like they're from Ivy League families.
Yeah. Nepo kids, you think?
Possibly, but I like the investment in
Polish
and bringing in more football smart people. That'd be harvest some advantages.
Eric's pumped about this. You need to ask Brad about this week one.
I need to
go ahead and put this in your question.
I'm going to text him right now.
I need to do a little bit more research on this. They turned that department over quite a bit over there. Analytics department stuff that.
Have they been turning it over, or are they adding to it?
Sarah
Molly Pie.
Yeah, they got rid of a bunch, and then they brought a bunch of news in, and then so yeah.
Top 10 pie.
Yeah.
Okay. Bobby might agree. All right.
Definitely
most
would.
BTTs.
I'm just saying that might be something that they're not getting right.
Wait, hang on. Did you say BTTs?
Yeah, I was going to bring up BTTs.
Ooh.
You ready for this?
Let's go.
I thought you'd tingle when I said BTTs. And for all of you that don't know, if you're listening, you're driving around, if you forgot what BTTs are, Eric?
Big time throws.
Thank you very much, sir. Most BTTs, big time throws in 2025. Who was it? What quarterback? Give it to me now.
Justin Herbert, your favorite quarterback in the league.
Oh, gosh, you know I love Herbert so
Paige
much. Paige Van Zant's a good one. She does have BTTs, and you wanted to clone her.
Stafford? Yeah. You wanted to clone her. You did.
Did I?
Yeah.
You made like some
that?
Weird cloning.
Like, I would like to clone you right now.
And then she got up and walked off real fast. But because she told us somebody
I think she
wanted,
was charmed.
She said one of the weirdest messages she ever got was somebody that wanted some of her hair so that he could try and clone her.
Oh, okay.
And then he made like a cloning joke, but I think she thought it was, I don't know. It was strange. The whole thing, Eric was so far away.
Yeah,
he wanted nothing to do with this. That entire day was quite a day for us.
I was at the urinal next to Ian Rappaport at that time.
You were having a good time there. All right. Stafford, yep. Air Bear, where are you going?
Say it's Dak Prescott.
Prescott, not it. It is Stafford. It is Stafford by a freaking wide margin, boys. BTT's big time throw. Stafford had 58 in 2025. Next up, Caleb Williams, 37.
Okay.
And I said that on purpose. Bears fans, don't get freaky with me. All right. It's Caleb Williams.
Mike McCarthy calls
a new ball.
Caleb.
Bo Nix was at 35. That's a stunner.
That's what I, man. Ugh.
Third in the league. That's Sam shocking. Darnold at 34. Drake May at 32. Then Drake Dak May Prescott was at 31.
Dak was on a heater for like the first month. He led the league.
Yeah.
He was, yeah. And then, you know what? Things kind of fell short
CD
for him.
CD got hurt.
You know, the offense started to stall a little bit.
That Denver game, crazily, they did not go after him more.
At Denver, he was gross.
Yeah.
Okay. Is this a sleeping Super Bowl contender that's ready to be awoken right now? Not the Lions.
It's a different cat.
But it is a...
Bengals.
Let's go to Cincy. Joey Burrow, take it away.
Talk about the idea of trying to elevate the Bengals onto a bigger platform during the course of your career. Do you think that the Bengals are in a better spot now than they were years ago, and how much more work is there to go in that?
Definitely. I think the number one thing is you have to win. And you know, we're going to go win a lot of games this year and play great and win a Super Bowl and you know, everything that comes with that comes with that.
All right. If you remember, this is a big-time turn from a year ago where it seemed like Joe Burrow wanted one foot out the door there in Cincinnati. We were talking about should somebody try and trade for him.
Yeah, he was talking about how it wasn't fun.
Yeah. Yes. Now he's liking what they did. They make a trade for Dexter Lawrence. They go ahead and draft heavily on defense. They add Boye Mafe from Seattle. They add Kansas City Chiefs safety Brian Cook. Cassius Howell they draft. They're just thinking, okay, they got enough now on the defensive side of the football to at least be decent, and we know offensively, very Cowboy-like. They can score with anybody in the league. Is this the year? After a three-year absence, Joe Burrow can stay healthy, and Cincinnati, again, can be a real dominant threat in the AFC.
I don't think so. I don't think they did enough, and I've looked at it pretty dang closely over the last week or so. I think he also said it's the most talented team he's had since he's been on the Bengals. I don't know how you guys would look at that, but I just think they lost a lot, you know, starting with Trey Hendrickson. So I don't know how you could lose a player of that caliber. So I think it's just media training, and I can't tell if it's his agent saying, bro, people are talking about you like you're a pathetic, what is it called, emo dude?
Sad, yeah.
You want to be more upbeat and positive. Or is the team saying, hey, look at all this stuff we did. We're trying. Can you not kill us? Mm. And he's out there, you know, seeing the glass half full approach. But I just don't think so. You know, their offensive line isn't good. Their coverage isn't good. Their linebackers aren't good.
Al Golden's their defensive coordinator, inexplicably. I don't know how that's a thing.
I think he could win the MVP, though. They could win 11 games, and he could throw for 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns, and things could go great in the passing game. But
it wouldn't shock me for them to win the division. I don't think Pittsburgh's very good. Cleveland's not good. We'll see what happens with Baltimore. Can they bounce back? I think they probably will, but it could happen that Cincinnati has a good... They're favored in 15 of their 17 games. I think the schedule's pretty favorable for
them. Well, they have the third easiest schedule in the league, according to the Warren Sharp way that he approaches it. So, yeah, easy schedule. AFC's relatively wide open, you know?
I'd love to see it. If the Cowboys couldn't get there, I wouldn't mind Burrow going and getting his ring. And Cincinnati's harmless, much like Miami. Him or Josh Allen. Or even Lamar. I would, you know, one of those quarterbacks breaking through, I think, would be a fun story.
It would.
All right, let's go to the estate of Dan Snyder.
Mm.
It's available. $49.9 million estate of the ex-Commanders owner, Dan Snyder. It's hit the market. Now, big question here is...
This is a home?
Yeah, it's a home. He also has... He's living now in London. He just totally fled the country. He's like, I'm out of here. This is embarrassing to me. So now... he is selling his property. The home was listed for $60 million 2 years ago, but the price has now been lowered. This is in Alexandria, Virginia. It used to be owned by George Washington's family by the Potomac River. Now, this thing is 16,000 square feet, 16 and a half acres that were part of the former Mount Vernon estate and that Washington's family until 1859. According to Zillow, how many full bathrooms do you think it has?
Six.
That's what we all want to know.
Six.
One?
Yeah.
You want one full bathroom?
It's an old school house.
Let's go with 10.
Six. 10? Nine is the answer.
Nine?
Eight bedrooms, nine full bathrooms. I think they've probably had to have, like...
renovated it?
Yeah, they've had to have.
Modernized it.
One more bathroom and he can S all day.
He's got nine full. He's got six half baths. And the half bath is just a toilet, right?
That's impressive.
Yeah. And a sink, yeah.
That's
yeah.
crazy. It's got a game room, a gym, a library, and a home office, as well as a steam and sauna room, plus an indoor resistance pool and a 15-seat home theater. There's also a three-bedroom guest house and a carriage house with a studio apartment.
I don't know what carriage house is.
I don't either. Is that for the horses?
No, it's a separate apartment.
For your driver?
Yeah. No, it's just for people, maybe for staff.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn, this thing is just loaded.
For employees that he can disrespect.
I was watching
level.
That Dutton Ranch, and he brought this guy back to the ranch, and he dropped him off at the carriage house. Okay. So I've been wondering what that word meant the last couple
house?
Of days.
Well, there you go, baby. Bam, we got it.
So he's got 15 places to drop a deuce, is what
That's
you're telling
pretty
me.
Pretty impressive.
Well, I wonder if he's used them all.
What do you think? You think we should go in on this house?
What? Yeah, I mean, we're going to need a lot of people.
You think we could start a GoFundMe?
We could start one.
Hey, G-Bag wants to buy the estate. We'll let you ahead and spend a weekend in it. Nobody would actually give us a contribute. Yeah, what do you got?
The carriage house is actually what it says it is. I thought it was like an apartment for on the grounds, but it's actually a place to store horse-drawn carriages, tack, which is a gear, and related equipment. First popularized in the 18th century in Great Britain.
It's kind of like a garage.
Yeah.
But it's got extra accommodations, if you will.
He's living the high life.
Okay,
dude.
The upper floor, the ground floor features high ceilings, often 12 to 20 feet, with large, wide doorways to accommodate the coaches and horses. But historically, the top half or the upper half is the loft is a small living quarters for coachman, stable hands, or caretaker.
Hmm.
So yeah, it's kind of a little park. So I wasn't totally wrong.
No, that sounds badass.
It's a garage, barn, apartment.
Yes. Yeah.
Jack of all trades. All right, we've got predictions for your rookie stat leaders here, courtesy of Mike Clay at ESPN. Passing yards and touchdowns, Fernando Mendoza. He thinks he's going to get 14 starts. Do you guys agree? 14, over, under on the 14 starts for Mendoza?
Under.
Under?
Let's go less.
Okay. I like that. He thinks he's going to get the 14. He'll pass for just over 3,000 yards, 14 touchdowns. Your next closest is Carson Beck with 2 starts in Arizona. Otherwise, it's just garbage time for Simpson and Klubnik.
Beck could end up starting sooner than Mendoza does.
You think so?
I mean,
Beck versus Brissett or Mendoza versus Cousins. Mendoza's getting glowing reviews so far out of many camps. But yeah, I think you're right.
The thing with Cousins is it can make the fan base so mad.
Yeah.
You know? And it can be so ugly.
Well, imagine being Arizona right now and Jacoby Brissett is holding out on you.
Hmm. You just say, fine, dude, we suck anyways. We're going to suck. We're actually probably want to suck.
Just call us bluff.
And without you, we're going to suck more. So this is fine.
We're just going to start
back. Get the number one pick.
Yeah.
Yep. And then we get Manning to Harrison.
Then we can go get that guy that throws like a wide receiver.
Let's do it, dude. Let's go ahead. Flick of the wrist. Bam. Receiving yards and touchdowns. Carnell Tate, Tennessee Titans. 1,065 yards, 5 touchdowns. Jordan Tyson with the Saints at 2. Mekhi Lemon with the Eagles at 3. The projected receiver leaders in stats.
So is he just going in order from when they were drafted?
That does appear what he has done here. Casey Concepcion from the Browns was at 4, and then Kenyon Sadiq, the Jets tight end, came in at number 5. You have the rushing yards, not a surprise. Jeremiah Love, over 1,107 touchdowns. Touchdowns from scrimmage, though, he's going with Jadarian Price in Seattle, the running back from Notre Dame with 9.
Catch the ball a little bit.
Now, who's your tackles leader? Rookie tackle leader projection. Caleb Downs is amongst the top 4 in tackles. But is he number 1?
Say Sonny Styles or Jacob Rodriguez? Yeah.
Unfortunately, Jacob Rodriguez is not mentioned.
Arvell Reese.
Arvell Reese is 2 with 116, but you were right with Sonny Styles. 123 projected tackles. Caleb Downs at 4th with 82 projected tackles. Do we think Caleb Downs can get more than 82, or is 82 a pretty good amount for him?
It's solid.
Let's go more.
I like more on there. He has Malachi Lawrence getting the second most sacks among all rookies with 5.5. He's got David Bailey with the Jets, 7.5.
All right. Yeah, 5.5 for Malachi Lawrence. I think we'd be high-fiving saying, hey, solid start.
And then he's got Caleb Downs tied for the most interceptions with 2. So an 82-tackle season and 2 interceptions for Caleb Downs. Is that a solid rookie year? Not to mention the 3 sacks
That'd
and
solid.
10 pressures and God knows the 5 forced fumbles and 2 fumble recoveries.
10 TFLs.
5 touchdowns somehow, some way.
He's got the punt return back.
He might even play running back some.
What, do you have 2 picks every year in college? I think it's probably a pretty reasonable expectation.
Not bad. And then finally,
yeah, I take that.
Who's going to lead in the regular passing yards category? Dak Prescott is the projected leader this year in passing yards. Would that be a good thing for the Cowboys? Are we hoping he doesn't have to do that?
Yeah, you don't want him to be the league leader in passing yards.
Ugh. Rushing touchdowns, Derrick Henry's the projection. Rushing yards, Bijan Robinson is the projection. And receiving yards, going out on a limb, Puka Nacua with the Rams. I wonder how much he's going to play this year. Receiving touchdowns, Jay Jetta, Justin Jefferson.
Seems like Nacua might be in the midst of like an early career crisis where things are starting to show up that would make you wonder how stable things are.
Things showing up like teeth marks on the arm of an individual lady.
Yeah, there's just so much randomness and chaos now going on in his life. I wouldn't want to bet on that. You know, I'll just go no bet.
I'm with you. I mean, you're not taking him in fantasy either, right? You wrote him off?
No, I don't.
I think there could be a suspension at some point for him. And if that's the case, no way he's leading the league in receiving yards. If he plays all 17, then sure.
I did add the Puka to the bet payoff board if we bring that back.
You have to bite somebody?
You have to be bit by somebody in the studio. So,
ooh.
Just put that.
That's disgusting.
Just put that on the
what
list.
What was the other
don't tell me
on
with
there?
A good time.
I do have another bet payoff idea that we'll get to later.
Okay, perfect.
Well, thank you, Wolchuk.
Thank you.
Okay, we got the C-note coming up next here on your Home of the Cowboys. Does this fifth-year Cowboy have a good argument for a breakout player, or has that ship sailed? We'll hit that and the other Cowboy stories of the day coming up next year on The Fan.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Time now for the C-Note, Cowboys News of the Evening. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Sands is coming up here in about an hour and 20 minutes. He's going to join us at 4:40. What you drinking, what you thinking at 5. Rangers pregame tonight at 8 o'clock as they are in L.A. to take on the Angels. Okay, the tease was, does this fifth-year Cowboy have a good argument for a breakout? Sam Williams, a forgotten Cowboy, could be the X factor heading into 2026, was the headline here on the Cowboys Wire. Williams missed his pivotal third year with an ACL tear. He was slow to recover in a new role last year in Matt Eberflus's scheme. Don't be shocked if he shocks, with the quote from Sam Williams at the Home Run Derby. I'm going to be an outside linebacker. I can use my speed and my strength more. I can just be me. This is what I did at Ole Miss, so I'm happy. And at Ole Miss, he had a 20-sack career. He had a really good second year with the Cowboys. Can that change his fortune significantly, Wolchuk, moving from a hand-in-the-ground defensive end role to a stand-up outside linebacker?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the thing is, though, we've still seen him do stand-up rushing. So I don't think this is like a massive change for him. I think at this stage in his career, to me, Sam Williams is who he is. And he's not really a player that I would have brought back. I'm happy to be wrong. Maybe Christian Parker can go ahead and tap into something. But if you're talking about you want smarter, brainwork type of players. To me, Sam Williams is a guy, the stat is famous out there. He's got more personal foul penalties than he has sacks. He's a guy that ends up hurting your defense at times. He will over-pursue in the run game. He'll jump out of lanes. But just as a pass rush specialist now, as a guy that can be kind of third on the depth chart, maybe he can finally go ahead and catch lightning in a bottle and go get himself a payday.
Something to look for. I know a lot of Cowboys players are pulling for him. You can tell the way they talk about him. They're, you know, they're fans of Sam, and they want him to have success. The role is there. Of course, Cody Alexander told us 2 or 3 days ago on these very airwaves, the edge dropping has been something that in Fangio style defense hasn't bared out to be helping that much. You know, it's actually making the defenses less efficient when they're having the edges drop. So I think as more defenses try that, the sample size is getting bigger and they're like thinking maybe we don't want to do that. So it'll be interesting to see how much Christian Parker wants to do that. Because I think Sam Williams has rare traits when it comes to the speed and the power. And
yeah,
I'm hoping that a change of scheme can unlock more of that.
Yeah, and it seems like he's done more, like he's been better when he just had less on his plate in terms of like a snap count thing. Like it felt like early in his career, I don't know if it was his rookie year or his second year, where he was making an impact in a small amount of, you know, opportunities. And so maybe that's the best thing for him. Like, hey, you got 15 snaps, go out there and make the most of it. You're not going to be an every down player.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing that, you know, and I think the Cowboys could have really good depth if Sam Williams and Malachi Lawrence, you know, you're getting, you know, now 4 guys with Gary and Ezra Raku that could go forward. And when you can bring those guys and keep them fresh in the fourth quarter and third and long and stuff like that, sometimes on a per down basis, they can do tremendous things in a very limited role. Okay, Cowboys hoping for big jump from healthy DeMarvian Overshown is the story from Todd Archer, ESPN. Overshown believing in himself said the big difference this offseason, he's not spending time recovering. He's just spending time getting better at football. And, quote, I feel like everybody haven't even seen me. And we need that to be the case not only with Overshown, but I think with Tyler Guyton as well. When you talk about two young guys, were they in the same draft? Very similar type of timeline, but injuries have dragged them down whenever they started to get some decent momentum. So hopefully with Guyton and with Overshown, I think if I'm the Cowboys, I'm hoping for it, but I don't know if we can count on this, you know? And
yeah, it's tough.
I need the coaches to be able to explain this to the Joneses. If Overshown and D Winters aren't enough, we need to go get more help, because I don't feel like Overshown is your stack and shed scraping machine who is going to be in the gap and help you shut down plays down in and down out. He's still a splash player, you know, and that's what we're hoping is if Overshown stays healthy, he can prove he can be that dependable guy down in, down out.
Yeah, I don't agree with you. I don't disagree with you at all in terms of him not always being super assignment sound. I think he is kind of a guy that makes plays in space, sees it, will use his athleticism to go ahead and make a play, TFL. And then there's another time where it's like, last year you could tell the knee, whether he just didn't trust it or he just didn't have like his full burst, like he would see it and, oh, he would just be a little bit hesitant and get there just a half tick late. He's a guy that could totally change this defense, though. If he can get back to where he was pre-injury, that is the type of player now offenses are preparing for DeMarvian Overshown. Like, he is that kind of guy. You got to know where zero is at all times pre-snap because he is so disruptive. But I'm with you. It's hard at this stage in his career to say, I'm going to get 17 games out of him, and you've got to have a contingency plan. And right now, they probably feel better about Shamar James than we do. They probably feel better about Justin Barron than we do. I'm nervous as hell about those guys as backup players, but I think they're looking at it right now and saying, hey, maybe they're thinking, look, we're okay here. I agree with you. They should go ahead and add another body because I can't rely on health there.
Are they poorly coached or are they just bad players?
I think mostly bad players.
Well, and I'm saying this in a way. I was trying to kind of figure out Overshown, I don't mean bad players. I just meant, was he struggling because of his health, because of injury, or was he a guy that just couldn't overcome some of the coaching that was going on?
Yeah, I think his stuff was totally health related.
See, so that's so if that's the case, then you really can't rely on him.
You think last year with Eberflus might have been bad coaching, bad scheme for him?
See, listen, this is where I get in trouble because everybody wants to fight me on this, and I get it. I absolutely understand why you want to fight. The minute you say that it was poor coaching, they'll tell you that, well, they replaced 5-6 players.
They did.
Yeah. And then the minute you say, well, the players are, you know, and then someone will argue, well, yeah, the coaching wouldn't help. Those guys they had weren't, you know, didn't get coached. You know, White Cotton, Eberflus. I know I mentioned White Cotton a lot, but those guys didn't help. You know, so I think they're – I'm trying to kind of figure out and people are also really tired of me mentioning, like, why do we keep talking about last year? You know, why do you keep bringing up last year? Why can't we focus on what this guy is going to do this year? And I'm like, that's cool. I just don't know. But I'm trying to figure out why they struggled so bad.
Well, he had two catastrophic knee injuries. Last year matters.
Yeah.
We saw him trying to come back from something that's no guarantee you're ever going to be close to as good as you were.
I say we as a fan base was like, he's going to come in with the S on his chest and his cape on, and he's going to save the day.
Yeah.
And he clearly was not the same player. And you wonder now, is he ever going to be the same player?
Yeah,
that's a fair ask.
And now I'm to that point of like, if he's never the same player, then that's injury got him. But was there something that they could have done with him last year, scheme wise, coaching wise, that could have helped him more?
Here's why I lean towards players over coaching, because I think that both are true. Eberflus was bad last year. What do you think about Mike Zimmer?
Oh, I have problems with anybody that can't stop anybody.
So, I mean, those are two different defensive coordinators, same players for the most part, that both were allowing over 27 points a game. They gave up 468 points, which was bottom in the NFL in 2024.
Wasn't Zimmer's getting better?
Zimmer started to get better towards the end of the season, but they were still terrible defenses that put up historically bad numbers. It got worse last year,
yeah.
So Zim did a little bit better job. But that's why, to me, it comes down to the personnel more so than the coaching. I don't think the coaching was good, but I don't think to be like on the other side of it and just totally blame the personnel. The players were not good enough. Their talent was not good enough.
Can I throw something at you? And just tell me and react any way you want. Dennis Allen went and took that Chicago group and got him deep into the playoffs on defense. They got better. As a defense, right?
Yeah.
Dennis Allen, Chicago. Is that an indictment on Matt Eberflus a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, Dennis Allen is much better than Eberflus.
Yes.
And Dennis Allen had led solid defenses
Dennis
for
Allen
a long time.
Dennis Allen basically took the personnel that Matt Eberflus had.
Yeah, he did, but we looked at Caleb Williams taking a big stride last year in the offense and Ben Johnson being the big reason why the Bears turned around. It was less focus on the defense. I don't think the Bears were like one of the top defenses in football last year. They were better, to your point. I do think Eberflus was an issue. It doesn't have to be one or the other, but I do think 2 years of bad defense, and really you can go back to outside of Dan Quinn. Nobody's been good. Mike Nolan was one and done.
Yeah.
Their defensive talent has not been good enough.
Yeah, and specifically with this discussion, it comes back to Overshown, and you need guys who are zone aware and can plug gaps, you know, and I don't know if that matters that much exactly who the coordinator is. Those are two specific linebacker actions that this Cowboys team was talent poor at in a big way last year. I don't think Overshown fixes that, and what last year showed is you might not even get the splash plays on top of that, you know. So you're right, Wolchuk. Overshown could go a long way towards fixing this defense, but based on how last year went, I don't know if you can depend on that. And I hope that this coaching staff can go to the Joneses and say, that was your plan coming out of the draft, and we were signing off on that. But as we get into training camp and preseason game one, it'll be time to get aggressive very quickly. The chance to have success in this schedule is early. You know, and if you're not careful, you could end up being 3-5, 8 games in, and then the schedule gets really tough on you. All right, we got to run. Krusty's Corner coming up next. Brian, where are you taking us?
Yeah, it's the Little Debbie Challenge. We're going to do that next.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Next.
Thank you very much, Lucius.
Oh, wow.
Broadcasting blindfolded here. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105 through the Fan. We're about now.
Look like I'm in the studio with a whole bunch of Hoovers. Looks like a Crip sitting here.
We are ready now for Krusty's Corner and a Little Debbie blind taste test. That's why I'm currently blindfolded. I don't know if Old Chuck and Chia following Lucius are because I can't see Jack squat.
I am.
But I do know. Old Chuck, you blindfolded?
Yep, I got this.
I also know Krusty's Corners brought you by Greystone Roofing. Go to greystone-roofing.com. Here's the king.
Hey, kids. Your old pal Krusty's going to teach you 5 new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Waters.
Thank you very much, Lucius. I appreciate you playing that. Thank you to Greystone for being a part of this one as well. Friday afternoon fun here on the Fan. We were having some conversations the other day. I hope you were out there, Tolo, and listening to us talk about the slander of Little Debbie snack cakes from Gavin Dawson. And so I just wanted to make sure,
Marco,
that we all knew.
Tolo,
we all knew that. Okay, if we,
Tolo,
this is a blind taste test.
Tolo,
I've got two products. We've got the Zingers. We've got Swiss rolls. And we've got some Nutty Buddies combinations of stuff like that.
Them Nutty Buddies is banging too, bro.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk out the room. Dawson, you can carry on your duties. I'm going to walk out the room, and I'm going to bring the plates in and set them in front of you. And then what I'm going to ask you to do is we'll start with the Zinger or the Swiss roll. The Swiss roll would be
Little Debbie.
The Little Debbie, yeah. And then the Zingers would be the Hostess. So, Dawson, if you could, take it away. I'm going to get the plates. I'll be right back.
Okay. Chief, sounds like you got something to say there.
Which one are you guys
my
most confident
ears are working
in?
Better.
Because I feel like...
I'm more confident in the Swiss roll.
Me too. And the Nutty Bar.
I'm very confident in the Zinger because the Zinger is my favorite. I do prefer the vanilla Zinger.
Okay.
And I think for the taste test... logistics, he probably delivered the chocolate Zinger, but I know I can tell just from the shape of it. I like the shape of them.
I like the shape of them, huh?
You guys look like you're protesting the cameras in here or something.
Have you paid for them?
I can still see the lights, I can assure you that.
And my basic theory here is just that I think a lot of sugary snacks are lazy, and we're letting these people off the hook, making horribly undelicious items, but they got sugar in them. And we're addicted to sugar, so we eat it. And like, oh, that was great.
They smell so good.
It's not really that great.
Right, I can smell the Nutty Buddies.
Got to be more mindful.
Here we go. All right, now, the way it's set up on your plate, the Zinger and the Swiss roll would be on your left hand.
Okay.
Your left hand. To your right hand would be the two Nutty Buddies. So what I'm going to ask you to do is we're going to sample the Zinger and the Swiss roll first. That would be your left hand. Okay. Sample.
Swiss roll.
Or Nutty Buddy. Or, excuse me, Zinger.
Okay. For me, the first one, the furthest one to the left on the plate, that's definitely a Swiss roll. That's a Little Deb.
I mean, that Swiss roll is Little Debbie, and it's so damn good.
It is so good. Oh my gosh.
Dawson, which one?
It's
let's
been
see.
So long.
Okay, let's see. Dawson, okay.
I had two bites of the roll.
Oh. That roll is sexual.
It really is. First bite of the Zinger.
All right, Zinger time.
Okay, we go to the Zinger.
The Zinger's pretty good.
You know what?
Actually,
Little Debbie stands up.
Yeah?
Little Debbie's not too bad compared to the Zinger.
The Swiss roll is better, but the Zinger is good.
So you know definitely in your first bite.
That was a Swiss roll.
That was a Swiss roll.
First bite you took was a Swiss roll.
Yeah, that's my wheelhouse.
I can tell by the feel of it.
Okay, and the second one was the Zinger.
Yeah.
Is that according?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I cannot say with confidence that the Zinger is better.
I do think the Swiss roll might be like one of the tops of Little Debbie's.
That's Little Debbie's best work.
Yeah, so we broke out the gold here.
Let me move your mic a little closer to you there.
Sorry, buddy.
I think you're struggling a little bit. There you go. You're right there. Now you're good.
Oh.
There you go.
That's so good.
All right.
Are these both buddies?
Okay. Okay. So you did it. You did correctly identify. Did they feel the same? Did they taste the same at all?
Yes. Similar. The texture, is it breadier on the Zinger? Like the Zinger feels like it's more of a breadier outer.
And the Swiss roll is covered in icing.
And it's bigger.
Well, those are the comparable things to each other. That's what they say. That's how they compete.
The Swiss roll is so fire, bro.
That Swiss roll is delicious.
All right. So you guys were correct on that. But we did get Dawson to admit that the Swiss roll, not bad.
I think I might like the chocolate Swiss roll from Little Debbie better than the chocolate Zinger.
100%.
Let's go.
All right.
Perfect.
Round two.
Okay.
This is the Nutty Buddies.
Okay.
Okay.
Hold on, I gotta finish the Swiss roll.
Okay.
Wow.
That Nutty Buddy.
This one's tougher. This one's a little tougher.
Now, are these the same flavor?
Yeah. Peanut butter chocolate wafer deal.
Okay, I think the first one I tried is the Little Debbie one.
I got to try the second one to know.
It's a good wafer.
I'll tell you what. The second one's better. But the first one, I think, is Little Debbie.
Mm. Damn. This one's tough, dude.
This is terrible. The radio we're doing right now is we're sampling snack cakes.
There's a chocolate peanut butter one, and that one was outstanding. The one that is not chocolate, I just ate that one. Was I supposed to eat that one?
Yep, you got them both.
Okay.
Yeah, the chocolate one I kind of liked a little more.
The second one that was not chocolate and peanut butter is devoid of flavor. That would be the item that I believe would be a Little Debbie.
I think the chocolate one's a Little Debbie.
The chocolate one's a Little Debbie?
I think so.
I can't tell which one's chocolate, which one's not.
The first one I tried was chocolate.
My mouth can't distinguish the two.
But I feel like it's melting all over me.
Well, yeah, the non-peanut butter one is just
I need to get you some Kleenexes.
Flavorless.
The non-peanut butter one, that would be,
feels like I have COVID.
There's two of them there. Chief, are you sure what you're eating here?
No, one of them feels like the peanut butter is more pronounced.
The first one, right?
Yeah, I think it was the first one.
Right.
With the chocolate on it.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. That's what I just don't know. I don't know which one's chocolate and which one's not.
It's a little bit bigger, too, I feel. I thought it was a little bit bigger in the hand.
Which one do you like the best? Which one do you prefer?
The bigger one, whatever the bigger one
and
is.
Which one do you think is the Little Debbie product, then?
I think that's the one that's Little Debbie.
I'm going to say the bigger one's Deb.
The non-chocolate one.
The non-chocolate one is Little Debbie?
I think chocolate was Deb.
So you're saying, Wolchuk, you're saying the chocolate because... There's a chocolate one, and then there's one with the white frosting to it. There's a white frosting.
I've never even had that before.
Yeah. I don't think Deb does white frosting.
I don't think so either, so I feel confident in my answer.
I'm going to say the big one is Deb, and the smaller one is Hostess.
Okay.
Unless you got me with like one of these Memorial Day Debbie ones.
How about you, Dawson? What about you over there?
Memorial Deb does get buck wild.
Yeah, the non-chocolate peanut butter one, that would be my main complaint with a lot of the Little Debbie snacks, and it's the special holiday ones, it's the Valentine hearts, it's the strawberry cakes, it just...
The Christmas tree?
It doesn't have enough flavor punch to it.
Yeah.
What about just like the feel in your hands?
That too, you know? It feels like plasticky icing.
Tell me the chocolate one was Little Debbie.
Not the good stuff.
All right.
Is the big one Deb?
You guys ready for this?
Please.
I guess.
I'm going to be sad if it's not.
Both Nutty Buddies you ate were both from Little Debbie.
Oh, my God.
In my face.
You freaking cheater.
Okay, well.
You've been through
rules. You're right. One of them was, you can take your masks off
Brian
now.
Brian and his games.
Dang it, Brian.
Oh, wow, it's bright in here.
Yeah. Memorial Day Little Nutty Buddies is what the thing were. So both of those were Little Debbie products. You got the Hostess product correct, but what you evaluated was a Nutty Buddy, an original, and then the Memorial Day, 4th of July
so
Nutty Buddy.
You're 100% right. The Memorial Day, like they're not as good.
No.
But the tried and true, like, signature Nutty
their
Buddy
home runs,
is delicious.
Yeah. They're bread and butter, what they built their brand off of. The Swiss rolls and the Nutty Buddies.
That, like, holiday special was not good.
Yeah.
So were you surprised, though, that you definitely could tell the difference between, like, the Hostess with the cake, right?
Yeah.
The cake was different in that
regard. The texture and the shape, you know?
Dawson, you said that there's a little plastic flavor to the
to the texture. You know, I would say that you know, you want homemade icing, the powdered sugar in the eggs. You know, you can hear it beating in the kitchen, right? You know, mom's putting in work.
Delicious.
That's what you want. And a lot of the bad fake icing in the deli and on a lot of these treats, I think they're just sugar hacking us. They get us addicted to sugar, and then they get a brand recognition thing, and you're just buying it and eating it. If you're going to eat bad, if you're just going to eat desserts for snacks, basically, at least have the flavor pay off. I think is the moral of the story for me.
The moral of the story for me is the Swiss rolls are so freaking head and shoulders above everything else.
God, they're so good.
I'm like, it's been too long since I've had that.
Gosh, they're divine.
Well, you could take.
That was like the time machine. Have you ever seen Ratatouille when the guy takes the bite, then he goes back to his childhood home? That's what just happened to me. So I said an out-of-body experience.
It's nostalgic. Let's go.
Is a Swiss roll that long of a... I mean, the Nutty Buddy thing has been around, I think, forever. Is a Swiss roll common?
My whole life.
That was the one I had the most growing up, was the Swiss roll. And then I graduated to the zebra cake. And then the Cosmic Brownie and the Fudge Rounds were mixed in.
Yeah, the Cosmic Brownie.
Now, you don't think the zebra cake is going to have the same flavor properties of this Memorial Day atrocity over here?
Those are also not specialty. They're around all year. They actually even do a zebra cake Swiss roll. And that, to me, is also just as good.
Yeah, I couldn't find that as far as the...
I'll bring it. Next time I go to the store, I'll bring some zebra cakes.
Well, I was over at the Tom Thumb.
You let me know.
Did the checkout lady look at you funny, or did she think you're buying them for your grandkids? Or your great-grandkids?
No, this was like 18 bucks of an experiment, man. This was totally worth it.
Well, thank you so much.
I was,
this is my favorite segment we've ever done.
But there was clearly a difference in the Nutty Buddies, though. There was clearly a difference.
Yeah. There's something about just the
chocolate,
the traditional chocolate Nutty Buddy. But do you see how you could actually break it apart with the layers? Like, you can just open that right up. So that's a fun way to, you know, elongate the experience.
Okay. Indeed.
You know, instead of just housing that thing.
So we learned that Dawson doesn't completely hate.
And I'm willing to be honest.
Yeah.
You know?
Thank you.
No, that's all I want.
Is that what we learned right there?
That's what we learned.
We made history.
I'm not going to double down on takes.
But you were right about the seasonal stuff. I've sided with you.
Stay
on that.
Stay away from the seasonal.
Just play the hits, Deb.
Yeah.
That's all we're saying.
We kind of found out that Bluebell doing seasonal ice cream stuff, not really good.
Not a home run. Stick to what you're good at.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, boys. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you. You brought us two down, three to go. It's great to have the king back in the houses. And although Wolchuk did a hell of a job when you were out booking guests.
Oh, yeah.
We had Votch.
Yeah.
We had Harris.
Yeah, we had Cody Alexander.
Mishota.
Yarish.
Cody was good, huh?
Yeah, Yarish. Stepped in.
Yeah, okay.
All right, Cody was great.
Zach, we got a mixed bag coming up. What do you say?
Yeah, let's do it, man. Let's talk Hooters. And is this acceptable to do to your ex? That's next in the Nation.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.